I'm a product manager at Picaro, and today's topic is I'll be telling you about this laser technology that is used to measure stable isotopes of water and how we can utilize water-stable isotopes in evapotranspiration partitioning. So a quick outline of my presentation. I'll give you a background on water-stable isotopes, because I believe that not all of you are familiar with stable isotopes. Then I will briefly talk about the technology. How are we able to achieve such measurements? And finally, I will talk about the method used to do ET partitioning. And I will present some results of a demo we did in the UAE. So what are water-stable isotopes? An isotope is an atom. It's atoms that have the same atomic number, same number of proton, but a different number of neutrons. So the atomic weight is different. And as an example here in this corner, I'm showing the deuterium atom, which is hydrogen with one electron, one proton, and one neutron. This is not the most abundant hydrogen atom in nature. Typically, hydrogen only has an atomic weight of one, so it doesn't have the neutron. Stable isotopes are not radioactive, so they will not decay and release energy. In water, you have isotopologue of water. The most abundant one is 16O with hydrogen 1. It represents 99.7% of the water in that state on Earth, and it's considered to be the light isotope because it has the smallest atomic weight. On the other hand, you have rare, heavier isotopologue of water, one being 16O with one hydrogen that has an atomic weight of 2. Another one is 18O with two additional neutrons in the atomic weight, and the other one is 17O. So as you can see, the proportions, the atomic ratio of these isotopologues are very small. So to determine their concentration, we use the delta notation, which is defined as the ratio of the atomic ratio of your sample over the atomic ratio of a standard. But in my previous slide, I gave you the natural abundance of each species. But because of natural hydrological process on Earth, you'll get fractionation, fractionations that follows the Rayleigh distillation model, which says that during evaporation or condensation of water, you have a fractionation where the lighter isotope will evaporate first, leaving the heavy isotopes in the liquid phase. And on the other hand, during condensation, you have the heavy isotope that will condense first. So let's start from the ocean water. You'll have the lighter isotope that will evaporate into the cloud. And at that point, the isotopic composition of that water is about negative 11 per mil in 18O. These lighter isotopic composition water will accumulate in the cloud, and that's why you see a more depleted O18 water in the cloud at negative 30 per mil. But as rain falls, the heavier one will condensate, while the lighter one will stay in the cloud. And that's why as you move inland, you have even more depleted water in the cloud. So this is how you get fractionation and how you have different isotopic composition, different signature in the water. So you can use isotope to trace your water. And in this case, I'm going to show you how it's used in ET partitioning. I'm going to briefly talk to you about the technology that is used to measure water-stable isotopes. So Picaro developed this CRDS, this cavity ring down spectroscopy, that measures concentration of greenhouse gases, but also water concentration, and also stable isotopic composition. And the technique that is used is a spectroscopy where you have a cavity, where you fill your cavity with your gas of interest, which could be atmospheric gas or any other gas. And what you do is, what we do is, we shine a laser at a specific wavelength. That wavelength is specific to the molecule of interest. So the laser goes into the cavity, and in the cavity there's three mirrors where the light bounces off and resonates into the cavity, building up energy until a certain energy threshold is built up and shut off the laser. At that point, you'll have a decay of energy as the light exits from one of the mirror, and the energy is collected, is measured through a photo detector. But to determine the concentration or the isotopic composition, we don't use the absolute absorbance measurements. We use a time decay. We have a model that relates the time decay with a concentration. The cavity is very small. It's less than 10 inch in length. Here are the two mirrors that were shown in the schematic. This is the other mirror on the other side. The gas go into the cavity through this filter. So there's an inline filter. And so the gas goes into the cavity continuously, so it's a continuous process, and exits on the other end. There's electronics around the cavity to control pressure and temperature. It's critical to do those controls. So with this technology, we are able to move from the traditional IRMS, which is a mass spectrometry technology that have been used since the 70s. The IRMS, it's a bulky equipment that sits in the lab that is quite expensive to operate, but also to buy. And we, with our technology, we are able to get very similar performance as the IRMS, but on top of it, it is field deployable. So as you can see here, it's deployed on a boat where it measures continuously and in real time river water. So we will use those benefits of this technology and apply it to ET studies. So ET partitioning, I'm sure you guys are all familiar with this. Evapotranspiration is divided into two members, transpiration and evaporation. There are techniques out there to measure evaporation using flux chambers, eddy covariance system. Transpiration, you can do it through also chambers, but also looking at biomasses, and there's models that relate biomasses with transpiration. And here, if you add the carbon factor into transpiration measurements, you get your water use efficiency. So with isotopes, there's a model for using isotopes, and here it is. It was developed by Yakin and Sternberg in 2000. And the relationship, this flux ratio, this transpiration flux over ET flux can be related to isotopic measurements of ET, isotopic of evapotranspiration, isotopic composition of just evaporation, and isotopic composition of transpiration. So in the later slides, I will demonstrate how you can obtain those measurements. But these are the equations related to each of the component of this equation. So for delta ET, for measuring the isotopic composition of evapotranspiration. Oh, by the way, when I said isotopic composition, you can use either actino or deuterium. Both will work in the model. So to determine delta ET, we use the model uses the Killing mixing model applied to isotopic measurements. So if you look at the Killing plot here, the change in the inverse of the air concentration above the canopy is a linear relationship between that concentration, inverse concentration, and the isotopic composition of that air, of that instantaneous isotopic composition of that air. And the delta ET is just the y-intercept right here. So, and these are results that were done back in 2012 by Professor Good and his team. So practically, all you have to do is do a vertical profiling above the canopy and measure the isotopic composition at different level. So at different level, you'll have different water concentration and isotopic compositions. So this is the experimental setup. This is the schematic of the experimental setup. You have the Picaro analyzer that will measure concentration and isotopic composition of the water. This is the sampling towel above the canopy. And in this case, you have five sampling points. And these sampling points are tubed directly into the analyzer. Between the sampling point and the analyzer, there is a rotary valve. It's a multi-port valve selector where you can choose which height you want to sample from. And this is a picture of the valve selector. It's a Vichy valve, a multi-port valve. And this is the water analyzer. So as I said, we did a demo last year in 2014 where we under the initiative of the IAEA, which is the Atomic Energy Agency associated with the UN, we did a workshop in the Emirates in the UAE with the International Center of Biosaline Agriculture, and here we did the ET study on the grassland where we had six sampling height that was connected to this Picaro instrument here, and this is your valve selector. You can learn more about this study if you go to the Picaro's website. There's a blog that describes the work that was done there. So the results from the demo. So what we did is we sampled from each of the port for 10 minutes, and we took the last we averaged the last 5 minutes of the sampling, and we plotted the results of of those sampling results. So as you can see, depending on the sampling height, you get different water concentration, and associated to that water concentration, you have a specific isotopic composition. And in this case, if you extrapolate this line, you get the delta ET, which was at negative 2.7 per mil. The other variable that needs to be measured to do ET partitioning is this delta transpiration, this isotopic composition of the transpiration. And to do so, you can use the analyzer in combination with a chamber. For instance, this is a chamber handmade by a student, and here it's a bigger chamber. It's actually a LICO chamber, and you can connect this chamber. You can draw the air from that chamber and analyze it through the Picaro analyzer, and get the delta T. So the measurements you get from the chamber will give you the mixed air analysis, and you will have to include the measurements from the ambient air as well. I'm going to go back to the demo we did in the Emirates, because I showed you how we got to the ET, but with to get the transpiration part of the equations, we didn't have a chamber. We used a Ziploc bag to determine the transpiration component of it, and we had to estimate the evaporation component of the equation, and we were able to get this 0.67 as the ratio between the transpiration flux and the evapotranspiration flux, meaning that 70% of the evapotranspiration flux comes from transpiration, and that was done at noontime. So the idea is to repeat this type of experiment at different point in time during the day, and see and determine at what time do you get the highest ratio, the highest contribution from the transpiration flux, and that will tell you that this is a good water use. And I will finish off on this last slide, which is the isotopic composition of evaporation. For that, we used the Gregg and Gordon model that was developed in 1965, where to get the delta E, you need to measure the delta S, which is the isotopic composition of the water in the soil, and combined with the isotopic composition in the air. But not only you need to determine that, but there's also other atmospheric parameters that comes into the equation. For the isotopic composition in the soil, you can also use the Picaro analyzer. And in this case, you'll have to extract the water from the soil and feed it into the analyzer. And in this picture, I'm showing you the vacuum lines for the extraction, the vacuum and distillation extraction. We do have a module at Picaro that can combust the soil and extract the water as well. It's shown in the picture here. It's a much smaller module that will do it in a one-step process. Okay, so, oops, sorry. So, I will end this presentation on this last slide. If you have any questions, I believe we don't have any time, but you can meet me at my booth with my colleague Nabil and Karin. Thank you.
I want to point out that three of the four talks in this session are given by people from companies that sell instrumentation, and our society has a long and proud history of working with the instrument manufacturers, and a lot of wisdom exists with those manufacturers. So it's a great thing, and those people help educate us, like David just did, on the science underlining their measurements.